Now we are recording. I'm so sorry, everyone. You missed some good things, but there's still a lot of good things in store to be revealed.
Yeah.
And what we were talking about with Sarah was the importance of small things leading to larger things. And sometimes the messages of God are just indications that he's listening. And the confidence we get from that is all we need to know what to do next and have the courage to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
There are amazing things we can do for ourselves and for others, but we think it won't matter. That's why we don't do it. We think, oh, that'll never matter. That won't get anything done. My problem's so big. How will I ever get there? Well, it takes the first step to walk a mile. And God would rather see you do it. Why? One very, very good reason. He wants you to be strong. He wants you to know how powerful you are. He wants you to be a brother or sister to Christ. He wants you to be transcendent. And he wants you to know the answers have already been given to you. So he'll only give you enough to prime the pump. Really, I'm serious. I'm quite serious.
This is why
when Yeshua walked on the earth, he was surrounded by hungry and hurting people. Did he heal them all? No. He just gave examples of what's possible. Okay? He would stand or sit on top of the hillside and talk to the multitudes and give them parables and stories they could understand. And after it was all over, the apostles would say to him, but Lord, you've told us so much. Why didn't you tell them more? And he would say to the apostles, they don't have ears to hear. And if you tell people more than they can understand, they will reject it. Maybe they'll even trample on it or turn and attack you. He actually said that to the apostles in slightly different words, but you can read the scriptures and you'll find it there. Everything I'm telling you, it's all there. So he said, you can only say so much. You can only do so much. Why? Because we cannot rob our brothers and sisters from their sovereignty and their glory that was given to them by God. What we can do is activate it and stimulate it. Besides that, he knew if he taught the apostles really well, then they would go out and teach the rest of the people. And that's exactly what they did. And then they made more apostles who went out and taught more people.
Yeah.
Kind of like multi-level marketing, except you weren't selling anything except the truth and love and salvation. But the principle is the same. In other words, you have to extend the field, few by few by few. And I learned pretty short off after publishing The Lamb and the Lion and then Love Without End is those were not marketable products. I market them, and people will turn against me. And they'll say, you're the Antichrist. You're trying to undermine Christianity. And I would go, oh, no, oh, my God, what do I do? And Jesus would say, one by one by one. And so we would make the available, the prints available and the books available to one by one by one who would read them or see them and say, oh, wow, my life was changed. And then they tell five more people. And those five more people would say, oh, my God, my life was changed. And they tell five more people. And so it goes to where now Love Without End has sold almost 2 million copies. And it's in 14 languages. All one by one by one.
Wow.
We have about 5 billion Christians on our planet now. And it's all been one by one by one. people will not believe if you overwhelm them or you undermine their sovereignty, their own inner sanctified knowledge of the truth. What you have to do is light a little flame and then let it grow. And blow on it every now and then so that it gets a little bigger.
Wow.
So that's what we do every Sunday. We give people a little bit more of Christ, a little bit more of the Holy Spirit, a little bit larger picture about the grace of God and what's possible. And one by one, they're made better and more whole. They go out to the world and do better things and better work, and they inspire more people.
Wow. It's so humble. It's such a humble.
Well, you know, I grew up in a family of farmers, and the more I've gone into this work, the more I realize why. And why so many of his parables were about the seed. Actually, one of his most common parables was about a seed in one form or another. Just one little seed. And the tiniest seed of all, the mustard seed. You know, inside one little seed, whether it's a mustard seed or an acorn, is the entire DNA of the plant that will come from it. That's amazing, really. And they didn't used to know that. They just could observe it. But they didn't know that. Now we know from electron microscopes, it's all there. Down to the last limb on that oak tree and how it will grow. It's all there. Is that amazing?
Yes. Yeah.
It really is. But not every tree receives fertilizer or clean air or sunlight. And some of them are surrounded by dense overgrowth and thickets, and they don't get to become all that they are. One of the stories or teachings that I gave on our webinar last week was to compare the large, beautiful, spreading live oak trees we have down here on the south coast of Texas with the neighboring lots where there are just little scrub oaks. And you might want to think, oh, those, it's a different species. We just call them scrub oaks. Guess what? Those are live oaks that didn't have a chance. They got overgrown early in life. They got competed with by thickets and weeds and shrubs and too many trying to grow in one space, not enough sunlight, and of course with all that overgrowth, they sucked all of the minerals and nutrients out of the soil, so there was no way to grow. But the ones that grew to the full potential were loved. That's where people built their home, and they wanted a mighty oak, same age, maybe 100 years old. Very, very different growth potential. And now what does this say about what we can do for our earth, what we can do for our many, many human communities that are suffering, like the scrub oak fields?
Yeah.
Not enough food to go around, not enough medicine. Most of all, not enough love and respect, not enough caring, not enough education, not enough realization of potential. And we can really, really respect the people who rose to greatness in conditions like that and showed a different picture to the world. And it's possible. Everybody, remember that and never forget it. And cultivate it in yourself. The potential is there. cultivate it. And the potential is in everybody else. But they don't want to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be shamed.
Yeah.
Remember that. Nobody, absolutely nobody wants to be judged or shamed because they didn't have the chance you had.
Mm.
So don't go out and preach to them. Don't go out and tell them how sorry you are for them. Give them hope in small measure. And it's amazing what can be accomplished with small measure, because then they'll take it and use it. And then you watch them use it and give them a little more. That's what Yeshua did. That's how he works.
Mm. Wow.
And believe it or not, that's how he works with you too. So he wants you to be strong. He wants you and everyone to know that you are a brother and sister to him. Just like he said to the apostles, whatsoever I have done, you will do and more. But you have to grow into it.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And the other thing I might add for what he taught me is that it won't be your ego that grows into it, or your ego defenses that grow into it, or your sense of unworthiness that grows into it. What will grow into it is the original seed of you. That is a seed that dropped off of the tree of God.
Wow.
Okay? That's what will grow into it. It's just like, just imagine, God is a giant oak tree with trillions of acorns, and they all drop to the ground. And every single one of them has this divine potential.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept one in the tree for a very, very long time, until the ground was very fertile and until all the rest of the acorns were ready to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And then he let that acorn drop to the ground in fertile soil with people who had been prepared for generations to expect him and listen to him. And then that acorn sprouted and became the beautiful young oak tree that he was. And they even tried to cut him down. And his roots were so deep in the soil by then, he grew right back out and amazed everybody. And he said, do like I have shown you how to do.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
That's what we do on Sunday. And if you do it every day in your life, just a little bit, that's all it takes.
Yeah.
Don't come down hard on yourself because you didn't make it all the way to realization in one day.
Yeah.
It's a process, my friends, a process. There is something that has been a common denominator in all of the seminars that I have offered in the last year, because Yeshua set it up that way. And every single one of them requires a little bit of dedicated journaling. And there's a good reason why. Because you're not going to get it all at once. And we have a tendency. We have a tendency whenever we get our next great thought to think that it replaces the one that came before. We tend to say, oh, that was just something I thought when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
Or, oh, wow, this is what I really needed to see. And then we forget about what we saw 2 days before, 3 days before, 2 years before. You keep a journal. And you draw a line between what you did 3 years before and now, and it's like, oh, my God. The whole story was being told.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, Sarah, you got to be the receiver on this, I guess, because he knew you were ready. But I'm going to thank you for being here, and I'm going to take another caller. Okay?
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
And I know
you.
He has. Okay, we have someone from area code 828. Is that you, Desmond?
It's actually David. I'm in 828 is when I lived in North Carolina, but I'm still in Georgia helping my mom, but I'm generally in the New Mexico area. But what you're speaking to today really hits home because I'm right now on the throes. It's like vacillating between confidence and paralyzing anxiety. And it happens whenever I plan new things and take initiative and go on trips or things like that. It even shut me down from coming to one of your blessing seminars a couple years ago. And it's coming up around, I'd asked for a blessing for a family in Colorado that Janice is related to. And Frank passed away the same day. And I think the blessing probably helped the family and everybody process. But memorial service is on Tuesday, and I felt really strongly motivated to go, and as soon as I started making tracks, I got real shut down by the anxiety just yesterday, and then I'm still waiting for Janice to kind of give me an okay, because I don't know if I have a place to stay. So, but the point is, I'm recognizing that I need to keep my signal-to-noise ratio pretty high here, and that's a radio term, and that's what blessings do, and that's what our integrity does for us, and not vacillate over into the noise of all the fear and the anxiety that shuts me down, but also to be able to address that pattern. It's a trauma pattern from long ago. I need to be able to address that, too, and be able to move through it. So I just want to say thanks for any blessings that can be offered for me and all those concerned in this process.
Oh, yes, of course, David. You know you have it. And actually, you are giving yourself a great blessing with this realization because there is an energy noise pattern around all of us, and it's pulling the right signal through that makes all the difference. And I think this is one of the reasons sometimes we get the best result from the smallest signal, because it can survive all the chaos of white noise, you know, just all the conflict and the confusion that's surrounding us. And one clear signal comes through, and we say yes. And we can follow that one clear signal all the way home. And just following that one clear signal takes us to where we're going to be able to make another connection, and then another and another, until we have a whole new pattern of living established.
That totally resonates.
So don't get discouraged. The fact that life around you stays a little bit chaotic, that's the world right now. Look for your signal within the noise. Look for your blessing within all the conflict. Even within the setback, you can be a winner. You know, you could either succeed or you could learn. You could either go exactly where you originally intended to go, or you can pause and redirect to another destination that has even more potential for you. If you get stopped, it may mean you weren't supposed to go there in the first place. Because when there's a true connection for a signal, it will exist in both ways. I'll give you an example. One of the hardest things in my life to accept is I thought it was enough to love one way, and that would take care of all the love I wanted to receive back. I thought I could love my friend enough, and that would be enough. And in a way, it was, because it allowed me to accomplish and experience the things I wanted to do with my friend. But ultimately, there was a breakdown in that relationship. And I would sit back sometimes for months or even years and say, what did I do wrong? How did I mess this up? I thought I loved him enough, and what could I have done differently? And finally I realized I did everything perfectly. They just didn't love me back. And it's not that they didn't love me a little bit. It's not that they didn't love me just a little bit. They did. Obviously, my love couldn't have worked if they didn't. But, you know, not everybody wants to give back what's been given to them. And are we supposed to be resentful? No, of course not. Yeshua gave freely to the world. And he knew that most people would not give back to him any portion of what he gave. But if their life was enriched a little bit, they would give to someone. And then that someone would give to someone. And that someone would give to someone. And pretty soon, it would just be a better world in which everyone benefited. Does that make sense, David?
It does. It opens up so many questions, not questions, but comments. It's like I tend to get to the potential sometimes and recognize that I may not see the result that I'm looking for because I'm giving to the potential of the person or the situation. And that's kind of a tangent on that. And I try not to get attached to what comes back. And that's
you have to not be too attached to it, David, because your gift will never be lost. It's just it may not be reciprocated exactly in a mirror image.
No, and that's I feel really called to give support to Janice and the family, and at the same time running headway into my own terror of traveling. I mean, sometimes it's terror, sometimes it's enthusiasm, but right, it just, I don't know how to control it. Even when I was a field service person, I was like, sometimes I would be looking forward to the trip, and sometimes it'd just be dread, and it's just something that I've got to work through, because I can't just keep my life on hold. So that's...
No, you can't. No, you really can't. You can't keep your life on hold. And sometimes you need to stop. This is one of the problems with givers, is we don't stop and look for where things are coming back to us. You need to also be a receiver, because it's just like the giant oak. You can't grow the limbs out too far without deepening the roots. Otherwise, when the winds come, they'll knock you over.
That's with an empathic spirit, that happens so far too much.
Yes, it does. Oh, it happens all the time with givers. And this is one of the reasons people become discouraged with giving. You've got to take the time to deepen your roots. You've got to give something back to yourself. And I don't mean that to be selfish. It's like you can't continue giving and supporting others if you become depleted. You just can't. And I'm not saying that you have to give them a lecture about this. Just be gentle and quiet and go about your business and take care of yourself. That's the way to do it. You know, just don't be available sometimes. And sleep that extra hour. Take a little time for a walk in the woods. Take a little time for some sunshine. Take a little time for a movie that inspires you. You've got to deepen your roots. You've got to put some fertilizer on the ground. You've got to. Otherwise, you cannot continue growing. Otherwise, the winds come and they blow you over.
That's right. Grounding.
Okay, see? In the life of Yeshua, the winds came, okay? They knocked the tree over, and it grew right back 3 days later. Why? Because the roots were so deep. In the whole of his life, he prayed. In the whole of his life, he served God. In the whole of his life, he took time for himself to go out to the desert. In the whole of his life, he drew energy from the earth. He knew he would have to be a strong, strong man. And he was. So I say this to all of you, build your strength. And don't underestimate the importance of a small little bit of nutrition. A little tiny bit of the right nutrition is better than a meal in which you overeat, get sleepy, and it does absolutely nothing for you. Okay, I'm going to open Tony's line, and then we're going to do our blessing. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Glenda. Hello.
So, how are you today?
I'm very good, thank you. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I am.
Well, thank you for your message today, and for your webinar, the recent webinar, just to get a lot out of all of your webinars, but this one's been very interesting. So thanks for extending that into today's message. That's really lovely. I just wanted to mention, ask for a blessing for my friends Steve and Sandy. They're both going through physical health challenges, moderate to severe. So. They're enthusiastically happy. They're very happy to be on the blessing list. So I'm glad to include them.
I'm so glad.
I just wanted to mention that. And I'm not going to say much about it today, but the solstice coming up is really significant. There's some wonderful things that are connected in that. So I'll try to say something about it the next week or two.
Okay, we'll make some time for you next Sunday or the Sunday after as we get a little closer.
Yeah,
great.
Thanks.
Okay, well, let's proceed on into our blessing, okay? And we just ask the best for all of you. Always, always, and all of those that you love. And now I'm going to say my prayer to Yeshua. The blessing givers, please stand and join me, and the rest of you be seated, and whatever makes you comfortable and allows you to just disengage with gravity and the pull of life. Just don't have your arms and legs crossed so that you can experience a free flow of energy. Yeshua, we thank you. We thank you for all that you give us and all that you support us with your love, your grace, your miracles, and your guidance with your most amazing life as an example. We know that we can't live up to the fullness of it right now, but we hope to learn from all the steps you made along the way and be here for one another, that together as one body in your love, we can move to higher ground. In many ways, the flood that we are experiencing in so many places is just an example to us that we must move to higher ground in order to be free and see the sunlight. So we ask for your blessing now, but we give thanks that it has already been delivered. Let us just be here and receive. Amen. Amen. Your blessing is complete, except that you need to go and receive a little more. So lie down. Be quiet. Don't think. Just receive. Be a sponge. Be a sponge for God. Okay. Bye-bye for today. And have a wonderful holiday. Stay safe. And we'll see you next week.